it's settled. Amen? Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Today, I want you to know you can know that you have eternal life. And that's the only way you can know that you have eternal life is by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. By the way, it isn't about religion. It doesn't matter whether you're a Methodist or a Baptist or Assembly of God. I'm a Baptist by conviction, and I stand on that conviction because I believe they teach closest to what the Word of God says. I'm a Baptist by conviction, but first of all, I'm a Christian. And I've met the Lord, and I'm thankful that I've met Him, and I'm thankful for what He's done in my life. But I want you to know today, listen to me very carefully, it isn't about your works either. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, if we could save ourselves, all of us would go around saying, look at me, look what I've done. And we'd just be proud peacocks. But I want you to know that God hadn't called us to be proud peacocks. He's called us to be humble servants. Because we're a part of the kingdom of God. We're a chosen people. We are a peculiar people, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And we have been chosen, a chosen people, that we might share with people, that they might be taken out of darkness into the glorious light of the Savior of Jesus Christ. And by the way, let me tell you what, only He can change your life. But once you meet Him, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. By the way, when you meet Jesus, He changes you from the inside out. See, we try to change ourselves from the outside in, and it doesn't work because we get frustrated. We say, well, I can't change myself. No, you can't. Only the Lord can change you. If you're here today and you've never met the Lord, we want to give you an opportunity in a few moments. We're going to have what we call an invitation. We're giving you an opportunity to walk this aisle, take one of our pastors by the hand and say, hey, I need Jesus. Because, by the way, He is our only hope. He is our only hope. There's so many things on my heart this morning. And usually I have a message prepared today, but God just... this week I told Andrew earlier that last night I said I've struggled this week so much because I have a message prepared, but I don't believe God wants me to bring that message today. And sometimes God changes our heart. There's several things in my heart though, first of all, I want to say that I'm thankful that God's allowed me to be a part of His great work. This Sunday, I celebrate 46 years in the ministry. I started when I was 19 years old. Edgemont Park Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, gave me an opportunity to come and be the youth pastor there. And I made $40 a week, and I took home $32 of it. And Andrew and I thought we were rich. I mean, we were moving in the money there. And God was good to us, church. And then He led us to another church in Oak Cliff, West Illinois Baptist Church. Went there, Brother Jim Benton. Brother Jim's been here and preached for me at this church. He lives away from here now, but Brother Jim had a great influence on my life, as well as my dad, who was a pastor. And I'm thankful for Brother Jim Benton. He taught me about the ministry. He helped me, let me help him do funerals and do different things in the ministry, take me to the hospital, show me how to do hospital visitation. Brother Jim was a blessing in my life. And then there was a time in Andrew and I's life that God was leading us in a new direction, and we felt that God was calling us, and we got a call from Joshua, Texas, by the way. Back in 1974, we got called by First Baptist Church of Joshua, Texas. Brother Dick Blair called and said, hey, I'm looking for a youth pastor, and we're going to allow you to go to seminary, but we're going to be here full time. When you're not seminary, you're here at the church, and that's the way I did it. And God allowed me to come and serve at First Baptist Church of Joshua. I showed up here on January the 1st, 1975. I was 22 years old, church, 22, and I was wet behind the ears, but I had hair then, and I had red sideburns, believe it or not. And there's some people in this church that could testify to that because they were there when I was there at the church. And they called, some of them were on the search committee that called me to be youth pastor. The pastor left after 3.5 years I was there, and then they decided to call me to be pastor. That was my first pastor, by the way. I was young, and again, I was wet behind the ears. I learned a lot through trial and error. And they were so gracious. Many of the people that come to this church now, I've known for 42 years. And I've known them since I was 22 years old. And they were a lot younger back then, too, by the way. But they were on the pulpit committee that called me. Some of the people that are sitting in this auditorium. And I want to say today, I am indeed grateful to you today. Because you gave me an opportunity. Not too many people want to give a young pastor an opportunity to have their first pastorate. But I started, and God allowed me to be there. I was gone for 16 years, and then this church called me. I wasn't looking for a church. In fact, there was two times that I went to churches that were smaller. I went from a church running 350 to a church running 35, a mission church. And it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the numbers. It was about where was God calling us. And God called us to that mission church. Then he called us the Boyd Baptist. We had been there 8.5 years. Things were going great. We had just built a new auditorium that seats 500 there at Bonham. And this church contacted us and said, would you consider coming? And sure enough, we came here in 1999, 18 and a half years ago. And we're grateful for the opportunity we've had of being here at this church. And I still plan on pastoring as long as I'm effective and as long as my mind is good and as long as you'll have me, by the way. But I'm grateful for the opportunity of every church that had an impact on my life. And I just want to say to God be the glory today for that. And I just had to take that moment to share that in my heart. Our church is going to be voting on a budget next Sunday. Tonight we'll have discussion on that budget. I was going to preach on stewardship today, but God said, no, I don't want you to preach on stewardship. All I want to say about, I just want to say briefly about stewardship. The word steward comes from two Greek words, the word nemo, which means to arrange, and the word oikos, which means house. A steward in biblical time was someone who was responsible for their master's house. They took care of everything. It did not belong to them, but they took care of everything that belonged to the master. The Lord is reminding us today, folks, that everything we have and everything we own belongs to God. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. Now, and then it says in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift cometh from above. By the way, do you realize that we're going to adopt a budget this next week that we've already met this year? We're going to meet this year. Last Sunday, we met budget for this budget year, and we still have 4 Sundays to go. God has been good to us, church. And we have all of these facilities here, and we're only $58,000 in debt. That's it. And I pray we'll get rid of that soon. And if someone wants to write the check this morning, that'd be fine with me. But I want to tell you what, God's been good to us. And I believe he's been good to us because we've been faithful to the Word of God. We've been faithful to minister to people outside of ourselves in our school supply, our Operation Backpack, and our Thanksgiving baskets, and our mission trips, and all the things we've done. God has honored that, and he continues to honor that. And remember, we started a new thing just a couple of years ago. We're going into the elementary schools here in Joshua, and we're getting to tell the stories of Jesus, by the way. And this year, we're taking on another elementary school. We're going to be in 3 elementary schools, one on Monday afternoon, one on Tuesday afternoon, one on Wednesday afternoon, and we're going to be able to tell the stories of Jesus for 6 weeks, and then we can share the gospel, and we've seen children come to the Lord. In fact, recently, I baptized one of those children. Isn't God good? Amen? Yes. But if everybody gave this year what they gave last year, we'd meet this budget. But you know what? If everybody was a faithful steward of God, can you imagine what would happen in the church? We'd have more than what we could even take in. I mean, we'd start giving it away to other churches. Not too many churches. I want you to hear this today. Very few churches. I would say less than 10% of Baptist churches are meeting their budget today. Less than 10% are meeting their budget today. They're in financial crisis. And I want you to know this church is not in financial crisis. It's because of God. And I want to tell you we're financially sound. And God's been good to us, but you've been faithful stewards. Our church was recognized just in 2016. We, in our whole association here, we gave more to home missions than any other church, including a lot bigger churches than ours. We've been involved in missions. Our missions has grown. In fact, we're increasing our missions by 0.5% this year, and our missions have grown. Some of you have gotten a copy of the budget. And I want you, if you hadn't gotten a copy, get a copy on your way out today. You're going to see that your pastor has taken a cut in pay this year. And don't get upset. I know some of you might get upset about that. I'm sure you're just really upset. But I've taken a cut in pay this year because I want to pass along to the young pastors and help with their families. But also, I want to slow down a little bit more. And but God's been good to me. God's been good to me. And I'm going to start a new era in my life in January. I'm going to start playing the game of Social Security. Okay? And I want to tell you something. I'm thankful that I have that opportunity. I want to tell all you young people, keep paying into it. Because I'm a benefactor of that right now. Okay? God has been good to us, church. And I just want to say thank you, Lord. And but let me tell you what, stewardship involves more than just money. It involves our time, our talents, it involves our resources, everything we have. One day, every one of us will stand before the Lord. If we're a believer, you're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and your works will be judged according to what you have done with what God has given to you. To those who much has been given, much will be required. And I want you to know that if everybody did equal gifts, you know, the widow, the Bible says the widow gave her mite. It's all that she had. And God honored that. Jesus honored that gift, by the way. Why did he honor that? Because the Pharisees, they were giving their 10%, and they were giving all down to the last little in their garden. They would take the last little part of the garden, and they would make sure just 10% went to God. That was it. And they were particular about that. But the Lord said, the problem with the Pharisees is their hearts weren't right. That lady's heart was right. And your heart is right if you come to this church and understand that what you're investing in lives that will be forever changed by the power of God. And I'm thankful that we have a part of being a part of that. But I want to really, the message God laid on my heart today as I was praying this morning, I tell you, this has been difficult, church. But I really believe that we're going through a very difficult time as a nation. And there's people in this auditorium today that are going through a difficult time. I think we would all be surprised today if everybody stood up, and we're not going to ask people to do that. We'd never do that. But if you stood up and say, here's what I'm going through in my life right now. Here's what I'm going through in my life. Here's what I'm going through in my life. We would all be surprised what people are going through. And the hurricanes that are taking place now down in Florida, the one in South Texas, We've seen these Harvey, now we see Irma, we see other hurricanes going around. Do you realize this last week, there was an earthquake in Mexico that registered 8.1 on the Richter scale. That is one of the largest hurricanes ever, earthquakes ever. Listen to me, the largest earthquakes ever. And I believe that we're beginning the birth pains of the things that will are going to come. By the way, when a lady is pregnant, she's going to tell you that whenever she starts having those contractions, there's a birth that's going to take place. Amen? I want you to know that before long there is going to be a coming, and there's going to be a coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's going to come in the clouds, and he's going to rapture his church out of this world. And Dr. Jimmy Drape was here a few weeks ago on our Roundup Sunday. And on that Roundup Sunday, we had 400 people here. We hadn't had that many since. But I want you to know something. It's amazing. In the Bible, people were more concerned about bread and boats. And I think we're living in the same time. You feed them, they'll come. But I want you to know, we're not to come just because we're being fed food, physical food. We're to come to receive spiritual food, folks. And we ought to have a commitment to the kingdom, a commitment of our time. And I pray God would impress our church with this very much. But I know there's some people who are struggling today. I know there's all sorts of people that are predicting, why are we going through this mess in America? Why are we going through the things? And some actors and actresses have tried to give their spin on it. And by the way, you shouldn't listen to their spin because they're not godly. They don't even know what the Bible has to say, and they don't need to be telling us that we're going through this because we've elected a certain president. As one actress said this week, what we're going through is God's trying to get our attention. He's trying to help us to turn our hearts back to God. He's trying to get our attention to say, hey, we need to return. Revival needs to come to America. And next weekend in this church, we're going to have the Team Impact. They're going to be in 8 different Joshua schools on Thursday and Friday. And Friday night 7, Saturday night 7, Sunday night 7, they're going to be here. And there's going to be people who will be forever changed by the power of God. But church, we need you. You can't stay away. You must come help us. Be counselors. Tonight, we're going to do the training in our evening service. I'm going to share a message tonight. God's laid on my heart. Then we're going to do some training in that area. But I want you to know, we have a great responsibility ahead of us that God would be with us in this time. But I really, today, here's what I want to share about. I want to share about those who are struggling today in this place. Maybe you have a heavy heart. Maybe you've gone through a tragedy recently. Maybe there's some things that are happening in your life that are unexplainable. And I want you to know that there's some things that have helped me. You know, we need to realize the rain comes on the just and the unjust. And trials come on good people as well as bad people, folks. Your pastor's been through many trials through cancer. As mentioned earlier, prayed earlier by Brother Jake, I had immune treatment. I've been doing that for 2 years now, every 3 weeks. And God has been good. I'm still here to preach this morning. And I had the toughest treatment I've ever had this last time. But I want you to know, God raised me up this morning and helped me to be here today. And I give God the glory for that. But there's been some things that have helped me through that time. And I want to talk about those today. And I want to encourage you. Really, this message is an encouragement message to those may be hurting today, those that are going through struggles. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to the 23rd Psalm this morning. David, who is king, who is a man after God's own heart, has written the majority of the Psalms, by the way. He's written 73 that we know of the 150 Psalms. As you know, I preached this summer a series on the Psalms. I didn't share from Psalm 23. It was a very familiar one. But I believe that God wants me to encourage somebody today with this Psalm because David knew that he was a shepherd, by the way, and he knew the relationship of the shepherd and sheep. The shepherd was totally responsible for the sheep, by the way. Everything the sheep needed, the shepherd provided. And by the way, let me tell you something. The Lord is my shepherd. That's how he starts this. My personal shepherd. And I pray today you could say, the Lord is my personal shepherd. By the way, this imagery is not only used of our great God and Lord, it's also used of our Savior Jesus. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the door to the sheep. And then he said, I am, in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. John 10:27. But everything the sheep needed, the shepherd provided. Psalm 23, I believe, was written as David was out there tending some sheep, and God was speaking to him, and maybe someone here today that's going through trouble, may I encourage you today, listen to what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful psalm. This psalm tells us that we have a shepherd, and that shepherd is the Lord. And just like David, many a time David had taken care of the sheep. You remember whenever David faced Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, as he faced Goliath, he said, God was with me when I killed the lion that was trying to attack the sheep, and I killed a bear that was trying to attack the sheep, and he's going to be with me, with you, giant Samson, and you're going to come down. And sure enough, it just took one stone to bring him down. Amen? He had five, but only took one. But listen to me, the Lord is my shepherd. And what does that mean today? Well, that means, first of all, that he is the God that is the God of divine provision. The God of divine provision. May I tell you that every need that you have this morning can be found in the Lord. Are you going through struggles? God can help you. Are you going through trials? God will be with you. Are you going through difficulties in your life, in your family? God will help you. He is your shepherd, and he will take care of his sheep. In fact, the Bible tells us in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In other words, Jesus was willing to lay down his life. He was the shepherd that laid down his life for us. In that time, the shepherd was responsible for the sheep, but he is the God of divine provision. Notice what he says here. I shall not want. There's no want for those who know the shepherd. First of all, he says, notice verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The shepherd was responsible in that day to lead the sheep to the green pastures. The sheep were some of the dumbest animals that had ever lived. That's the truth. If you do research on it, they had no sense of direction. They had no sense of smell. They were dumb. All they did was know how to, they had to follow the shepherd. In fact, many times they would get lost because they'd get rolling out this way, seeing grass, they'd go out this way, and the shepherd would have to go and find them. One of the greatest parables that Jesus shared in the scripture was in Luke 15, where he said there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and he lost one, and he was willing to leave the 99 to go find the one sheep that has gone astray. By the way, that's the God that we have. He's the God of all love. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all grace. And he will be with you today as you go through this difficult time. But notice what he says here. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, but he leads me beside the still waters. As I mentioned, those sheep, what would happen? They would get up to a brook, and that would be a running brook, and it'd be really fast. And if it wasn't careful, the sheep would get caught up with it and be caught down the way, and a bear would be waiting down there to kill it. So what would the shepherd do? The shepherd would go up a little bit. He'd build a dam, and he would build a dam on that water. And then what would he do? He'd lead the sheep over here on the other side where the waters were still, and they would go over and they would drink there, and they felt safety there. There was a place of peace and rest. And I want you to know that our shepherd wants to lead us to a place of peace and rest this morning. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I know what I'm going through in my life. And I want you to know something. I couldn't have made it a day without the Lord. I couldn't have made it a moment without the Lord. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him. And he wants to be with us. He restores my soul. Boy, have you ever been to the point where you're at wit's end? You're ready just to give up. You're ready just to give out. You're ready just to say, hey, I don't think I can make it anymore. And what does the Lord do? He comes and he restores you. The Lord comes and he helps you. He lifts you up. And I tell you, that's the God we serve today, folks. And I want to encourage you to trust the one who will provide your every need. Let me give you a verse that's helped me. Philippians 4:19 says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That tells me my physical needs he can meet, my emotional needs he can meet, my financial needs he can meet, my every need I have, God can provide, folks. And every need you have today, our God can provide for you. I want to encourage you to come to him and allow the shepherd come into his fold and allow him to take care of you today. He is the God of divine provision, and he will take care of every need that you have today. And then, not only is he the God of divine provision, I love this part. He's the God of divine presence. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Psalm 23, verse 4. Listen to it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Excuse me. Been in the ministry for 46 years. I've been there by the side of many a bed when someone's taking their last breath. And boy, I tell you what, there's a big difference between someone who knows the Lord and someone who doesn't. Amen. Those who know the Lord, they go in peace. Amen. And God just gives them that peace. And I believe that God comes to them in that time and just gives them that rest and peace as their shepherd. But think about it here. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some people say, well, he's talking about death there. Well, he could be, and that's part of what I translate there. But also, he could be talking about a dark valley. Every one of us in this room have gone through a valley in our life. Some valleys are long. Some valleys are deep. Some valleys are very narrow. Back in that day, if you know the terrain there in Israel, the shepherd would sometimes have to lead the sheep through a mountainous area, and there would just be such a narrow area to go. The sheep would have to follow the shepherd. They would fall. If they fell off the cliff, they'd fall to their death. It was a very narrow place to go. And the shepherd, though, guided them through that. And I want you to know that sometimes in our life, we go through a valley, but I want you to hear this today. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for why? Thou art with me. Folks, listen to me today. We have a God that will be with us. He's the God of the mountain, but he's also the God of the valley. He's the God that will be with you in the most glorious times in your life. Just like this morning we celebrated the Messias as they followed the Lord in baptism. What a glorious time for their family. But then, as we go through the valleys of life, let me tell you what, I've been down some of the darkest valleys there could ever be. I've been down to the bottom, but I've discovered this. At the bottom, there is solid ground, and that solid ground is Jesus. He is our shepherd. That solid ground is the Lord. He will go with us through the darkest valley. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. There will never be a time that the Lord will leave us or forsake us. He will be with us no matter, even though we don't understand the things that happen in our life. And by the way, there's a lot of things as a pastor I can't understand. I can't explain. I can't explain why children get cancer and die at a young age. I can't explain why some children are born stillborn. Andrew and I lost the twins Our children lost twins, and that was some of the most difficult time in our life. But I want you to know that without God, we wouldn't have made it through that time. He was with us in the valley. I don't understand a lot of things, but I want you to know one thing. I do know that God is with us. And God is the God of all love and grace. He's the God of all comfort. He comforts us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He comforts us in our affliction that we might comfort someone else in their affliction. So remember that, okay? He says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod and staff for the shepherd was the staff was a long kind of a cane type of thing. It had a hook on it. And what the shepherd would do sometimes, he'd have to reach out there, pull the sheep back in from danger. And the rod was a short thing, and what the shepherd would do for that, he would just throw it at one of the animals that would try to kill one of the sheep. And so he had his rod and staff. But I want you to know something. The rod and staff for us who are believers, I believe the rod and staff for us is God's word and prayer. What do we need when we go through difficult times? We need direction, right? The only direction I found that's good direction is God's direction. Some people give us bad advice, but God will not give us bad advice. Read God's word in those times when you're going through the valley, and God will lift you up and he'll strengthen you through that time, that he will be with you. He'll restore you. He will minister to you in that time. But not only do we have the word of God, we have prayer. The power of prayer. Think about that just a minute. We can stand here on earth, and through prayer, we can touch heaven. I can pray for people in Florida, several hundred miles away today, which we did this morning. We prayed for them, and we're continuing to pray for them, that God would watch over them. Our prayers are powerful, folks. And you can turn to God in prayer, and God will hear you, and he will answer you through this difficult time. We have the God that is the God of divine provision, the God divine presence, but also we have a God that has the God divine prospect. At the end of this chapter, David had gone through so much, and he gets to the end and he says this. Here's this affirmation of faith. Verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David understood that in the very end, what it really mattered was he had put his trust in the Lord. And because he had put his trust in the Lord was going to be with him, and he had prepared a place for him. That divine prospect is heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. For those who have met the Lord, you've met the Lord, you're prepared for heaven. For those who have not, you need to get prepared. You know, none of us, if we knew a tornado was coming or we knew a storm was coming, we wouldn't prepare for that storm. And I want you to know we need to be prepared because of everything that's happening in our world. There's something that's about to happen, church. And we don't know when. We don't know exactly. We're not in charge of the scheduling committee. We're not the scheduling committee. We're the welcoming committee. And when the Lord comes again, we're going to go and be with him in the clouds in the air, the Bible says. Those of us who know him. And we're going to go be with him in heaven, by the way. And we have loved ones who have already died. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're already with the Lord because they put their faith and trust in Jesus. But if they didn't, we must understand that you must be prepared, folks. And so must we. He said, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. I'm confident that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God has given us that confidence. And maybe you're here today, and you're saying, boy, Brother Jerry, you must have read my mail this week. Well, I want you to know I read my mail this week. And there's not a one of us in this room that's not going through a struggle. We're all struggling. And none of us are exempt from that, by the way. The Bible says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Only by God's help. Because I want to tell you two or three things as I close. First of all, He's the God of all comfort. He will comfort you in your affliction. Only God can do that. Secondly, He's the God of all grace. Grace is God's mercy in action. And He gives us grace to live by and grace to die by every single day, okay? He is the God of divine presence, as we've looked at, and provision. And He has prepared a place, heaven, for us who will one day be with Him forever. And by the way, when we get there, listen to me, folks. We're going to be delivered from all pain, all sorrow, all trials, all difficulties, everything we face here on this earth. There'll be no sickness in heaven. There'll be no night in heaven because the glory of Jesus will light up heaven. There'll be no more sorrow in heaven. I know our world is full of sorrow. Our world is full of tragedies. Every single day we hear of another tragic situation. But listen to me. God can help us today. And I want to encourage you to turn to the Lord. We're going to have an opportunity here now. Our staff members are going to come stand up here. And what we call this is invitation. We invite you to come and say, you know what? I don't know that shepherd, but I want to know that shepherd. I want the Lord on my side. I want Him in my life. And I want someone to tell me how that can happen. And we're going to sit down with you here today, explain to you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We give you this time today. Others, maybe you've been coming to this church. You've been visiting. God has drawn you here to be a part of this fellowship. We invite you to come and be a part of this fellowship today. God's called you here. Come. But maybe today, there's some that are burdened with great burdens. Our staff will be here at the front too to pray with you. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them here. And allow God to help you through this time. We'll pray for you today. If you'll just come and say, hey, would you pray for me? We'll be glad to. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. And even though, Lord, you completely changed my message, I believe it's the message for this hour.